G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, November 2. I'm John Barker. Joining me as usual, Joel Marshall and Daniel Nuttall. Well, Joel, can't believe we're here already. It's the first day of the Flemington Carnival. And we always used to say this was the best day's racing on the Australian calendar. Probably only got better with the addition, with the switching of the handicap mile with the McKinnon Stakes. There are a few other days, I suppose, these days that that do rival it. Golden Slipper Day, probably Caulfield Guineas Day, but where do you stand on that?
Yeah, it's pretty darn good Saturday. Just looking at Saturday's day alone, I'd say it's, if it lost its number one ranking as the best racing day on the calendar, I think it's regained it. Great card. Yeah, I think that moving the old Emirates, now the Cantala, back to the first day has been a winner. The McKinnon had just started to lose its luster, hasn't it? I mean, there was plenty of interest generally around the McKinnon. You had cup horses getting their lead in runs and some classy horses running in it, but it had lost the appeal as a cup lead in, and a few of the big guns weren't backing up. So I think definitely a winner to swap those two races. And the Coolmore Stud Stakes, well, that just continues to evolve, doesn't it? Sort of a lot of people think that it's rivaling the Guineas. Well, you've got the Guineas and the Golden Rose, I guess, as stallion making races for these three-year-olds, and this race is right up there, and it's another cracking renewal.
The Derby, Daniel, a few weeks ago probably looked like Shadow Heroes to lose. He obviously hasn't done anything wrong, as he hasn't raced since winning that spring champion. The form has stood up in sparkling style, with Castelvecchio running second in the Cox Plate. And yet, it's not seen as his to lose so much. He's the favourite, but three of them all together at the top there. And thought of that controversial jockey change this week. And what did you make of that?
Oh, it's been dominating the headlines, hasn't it? And we've had a few different stories. Obviously, the scratchings of two of the Melbourne Cup international runners this morning, and something to do with Tom Waterhouse, I think I saw on my timeline as well. It's been a busy week. I think we're just waiting to get to Derby Day. But yeah, on the main race, as you said, Shadow Hero, I think it was 250 at one stage after that win. And as you said, done nothing wrong. Seen the form around him stand up quite well, and he's drifted out to about the 350 mark. It's a race with a long tail. I think there's probably three or four genuine winning chances, but we'll touch on it a bit later on. But I think it's Shadow Heroes to lose for sure.
Yeah, I think the Tom Waterhouse story you were referring to was he was going to go on, he was due for an interview on RSN, and then someone, Tabcorp allegedly, put pressure on to get him off there. But it's a tragedy for the listeners of Australia. I mean, Tom Waterhouse, very underexposed. I'd like to get Tom's thoughts on something, because you don't often hear from him. We will take you right through this sparkling program of racing at Flemington on Saturday. One thing we haven't mentioned, by the way, was that there's actually a $7.5 million race as well. So what an absolute feast for punters right around Australia. That's, of course, in Sydney. That is at Rose Hill, the Golden Eagle, and we will get to that straight after we get right through this Flemington program, because as famously, it is nine races, all group level. And we start with the TAB Stakes. Has had many names over the years. It is a 1200 metre Group 2 handicap, John.
Yeah, I've lent to Viridine. It's Zutori, $2.10, a bit short for me. He'd be hard to beat, but three Viridine. He's a bit tricky to catch himself, but he's a horse that needs to be held up with cover and exposed late. Just didn't pan out that way at Caulfield, so he had to get chasing. He hit the line pretty well, though. He'll be snagged back from that outside draw, get a bit of cover hopefully. So 3-4 Zutori, 8 Kemal Passer. Like his winning form, and I like him dropping in weight. I think he can run a cheeky race over from Adelaide. And 1 Tie Zone, first run down the straight, was a bit plain in the same race as Zutori, but he may be wiser for that.
I'm pretty keen on Zutori in the first, if we can get off to a flyer here. He's my best of the day. He's running a pretty hot Gilguy Stakes. I thought he'd run well there. I didn't think he'd get as close as he did to Sunlight and Santa Ana Lane, considering he was sort of on even weights with those horses, despite being well off him in the, at the handicaps, I guess. He's back to 57.5 here. He looks extremely well placed. Form down the straight's very good, and seemingly hard to beat. I'm happy to take anything over $2 with him. I've got 7 in next renewal, back to 1200 metres. I think the key to this horse, he's got a terrific record over this distance, and I thought that first up run was from well back at Caulfield was very good. I think he's an underrated horse, Renewal, Order of Command, straight form, and Viridine, that trekking form looks pretty good now in the numbers as well. 4, special 736 for me.
Yeah, I might start my carnival off in fairly embarrassing fashion, having left Zootori out. I've gone Malibu style, Viridine, Kemmel Passer, and Renewal, 2387. Race 2 at Flemington on Saturday, G.H. Mum, Wakeful Stakes, 2,000 metres for the 3-year-old fillies. Most of them on their way to the Oaks 5 days later. There's a warm favourite in Flit, despite the fact that she has to give them all 3 kilos, but I think I might have read Gator saying that on ratings you should be giving him 13 kilos or something. So that's the sort of thing I do like. I've found one to beat her, and so have you, Joel.
Yeah, I've gone with 3 Foxborough. Hope I'm not trying to jump on the train once it's left the station here with John Sargent. He's had 3 wakeful runners, 3 wakeful winners, and he's won it with a maiden too. So he can do it. And look, she's been going okay. She ran 3rd in the flight, beaten in a class 1 last start, but just sort of wandered about, didn't really attack the line until late. They put the blinkers on. So yeah, I've gone her way to beat 1 Flit. It wasn't a very strongly run 1,000 guineas, so you know, there'll still be some query over 2,000 metres, but I guess they were half thinking about a Cox Plate at one stage. You have to be pretty confident. 5 Vegas Jewels, the other key hope. Didn't lose any admirers off a pretty muddling tempo at Caulfield to sustain a long run there. And 12 Palumbo, I thought won quite well last time out. Jordan Childs probably had the pick, easy to see why he stuck with Vegas Jewel, but I thought Palumbo did a nice job winning the maiden, may have a bit of upside.
Yeah, I'm with Flit on top, last start Group 1 winner, and as you said, Berkshire, that does have to go 3 kilos more than everything else, but on handicap it's 29 rating points higher than the next one, which is Vegas Jewel. Look, the test is the 2,000 metres. Can she do it? That's stepping up to 1,600 to 2,000 metres. It's probably the only query, but I'm happy to be with her. We've got 2 in Miami Bound, a favourite of mine. I think she's been going okay this prep. Decided to take on the males last start, and it ran okay without really threatening. Back to her own sex here. I think Oriental Lily and Vegas Jewel, as well as Silent Sovereign, are bigger odds to fill out the rest of the exotics. 1, 2, 5, and 4.
Yes, like you, Daniel, I'm a fan of Miami Bound, and I am hoping that the return to the female agenda will be enough to see. I would think that Caulfield Classic that day is going to prove stronger form than the Ethereal, but you've still got Flit to worry about. But I've got Miami Bound to beat Flit at the prices from Vegas Jewel and Tizan, 2, 1, 5, and 7. Race 3, usually race 1 on this day. Wonder why they have switched it around. I wouldn't have thought in terms of punting interest it was that much different from the TAB Stakes. Anyway, if nothing changes, nothing changes, Joel, as Peter Sibyl used to say. Race 3 is the Network 10 Carbine Club Stakes, 1,600 for the 3-year-old set weights and penalties.
Now, Chris Waller was pretty good at targeting this race. He's won it at least a couple of times, maybe 3, and been very competitive on other occasions. So I'm happy to be with number 11, Cavelmo. Really liked his turn of foot last start. He put them away the last 100 metres. It was only a maiden, but he's got a fair bit of talent, I think. So happy to play him each way from the Guineas Runners, 2 Groundswell. And 1 Delasan and 5 Airborne, who is the Flemington winner and hit the line nicely at Caulfield first up.
And with Joel, Cavalmo on top. Carbine Club Stakes, probably one of my favourite races on Derby Day. It's always a terrific betting race. And yeah, this year is no different. But Waller's had plenty of success in the past. Kermadec and Zealand coming through with a recent win, spring to mind. Actually, new kid on the block. We've seen a few of these before, but Cavalmo, probably not known to many punters, only a last start Wyong winner. As Joel said, that turn of foot was quite electric, to sort of put the race to bed in a matter of strides. And the runner-up has since come out and gone and bolted in himself. So with Cavalmo each way odds on top, we've got Groundswell in next. Thought his Guineas run was very good. Dallasan, bit of an excuse that day, can bounce back. And Hairborne second up in next. 11, 2, 1, 5.
Airborne for me from Groundswell, Dallasan, high low, 5, 2, 1, 7. Race 4 at Flemington on Saturday, Last Chance Saloon for a couple of those to force their way into the Melbourne Cup. Lexus Hotham Stakes, 2,500 metre handicap at Group 3 level. Joel?
Yeah, tough race to assess. I've gone for one who, no matter what happens, won't be there on Tuesday. Number 13, Karif. Not an acceptor for the Melbourne Cup, but he's a lightly tried four-year-old doing a good job. They went pretty moderate tempo last start, so you know he sat three wide the trip, maybe flattered a little bit, but he held on really well for second. I think with a softer draw, he can get closer to Hush Writer, who was very keen on that day. He just mapped to get a soft lead, and he did. And his form left-handed is not as good, but a couple of them on wet tracks, he definitely needs it bone dry. So look, he'll get his chance. Him and Hackie be making the pace. And 10 is zero next best for a bit of value.
With the chosen one, 8, who's obviously two starts ago, is winning the Herbert Power Stakes over 2,400 metres. Beat Prince of Arran since coming out, won the Geelong Cup. And stepped out to the Caulfield Cup, the chosen one. And we did get a long way back. There's no match for the winner there, but was able to run on, I thought, quite well. Finished midfield. 200 metres won't hurt. So 8 on top, 13 in next, Karif. Big run in the St. Ledger last start, covering ground. I've got Hackie and Hush Rider, who'll go forward, those two in as next best. 8-13-4-3.
Yeah, Hush Rider I've got on top, won't get as easy a lead as last time, but Joel, probably the bigger worry is the weather forecast, as you mentioned. Wants it bone dry. 10 to 20 mils forecast for Friday. It's a bit of a groundhog day because I was saying exactly the same thing last week, that it was not quite as much rain forecast last week, but still a fair bit of rain forecast, and it just didn't arrive. There was barely enough to settle the dust, and we raced on a good track. So anyway, keep your eye on the rain gauges and the bomb.gov.au. But I've got Hush Rider on top at this stage from Downdraft, the chosen one. And Sir Charles Road, 4187. First of the group ones is race 5, TAB Empire Rose Stakes, 1600 metres. At weight for age, they're all older mares, they've all got 57, and it's worth $1 million.
Yeah, good betting race this. I am with number 3, Aristia. Unplaced all three this prep, but gee, I just think she's been ticking along beautifully for a race like this. 1200, couple of 14s under the belt. Races that she probably couldn't win with the big weights. She gets to a mile now, fourth up. Good draw, she can settle closer. Craig Williams, he was in pretty good form last weekend, so I'm happy to be with her at a decent price. From the star Kiwi, Melody Bell, could blow them away. She's very, very good. 7, Princess Jenny is the other key winning hope for mine. She's a talented mare. Just staying at the mile for a third consecutive run, that's the little query, because we know she's effective out to 2,000. She didn't have much of a run in the Toorak last time out, sort of ran into a bit of traffic. And 15, Fidelia is the other one. I noticed Gator's put her on top. She's the other one I could back at a decent price. Flemington 1600, she's just been crying out for that all prep, and they put the blinkers on, so she could well turn in her best performance to date this prep.
I'm sticking loyal with Perutakawa. I've been with her all preparation, and while she hasn't won, she's been running pretty well in Group 3, Group 2 company, all over 1,400 metres. Back to Flemington, where she was driven behind Hort Bronher, who sort of kicked clear there, but she'd run on well. 1,600 metres, a good distance for her, and I just don't think there's any reason to sort of drop off.
She's the big improver if the rain comes.
Yeah, absolutely. So she'll be... She hasn't got a win on a good track, but she... she's not hopeless on it, but yeah, as you said, Joel, if the rain comes, her chances definitely are enhanced. I've got Natoya in next, who ran in an Epson, was probably one of the better closers of the day, then stepped out to a Group 3 and got the job done there. I think 1,600 metres again, and she loves Melbourne. She's had two starts here and one well at Moonee Valley last year. In for third, Melody Bell. Bit of the unknown, obviously, with the New Zealand form. But yeah, she could very well easily win this. And into a fourth, Princess Jenny, going well. 9-10-2-7.
Well, she's got the Tiako Shark form that certainly held up all right last week. Melody Bell, and I made Melody Bell my best of the day from Natoya Perutakawa and Invincibella. Just, I guess, one final note on the track, Joel, you made. I heard you... telling someone earlier this morning that it rained a fair bit last year, and still
Melbourne Cup Day last year was just torrential. Our office was getting flooded out, and then they were upgrading the track within an hour. Perutakawa won that day,
Soft six to good four within an hour.
It just mops up the wet.
It does. And as we record this podcast, it's 35 degrees and blowing a gale. And I don't imagine that they're putting much water on it in anticipation of this torrent that's going to come. So, yes, it's hard to see it getting really, you know, it's hard to see it starting on much worse than a soft five, I wouldn't have thought. My numbers in the fifth were 2, 10, 8, and 1. Race 6, second of the group 1's Coolmore Stud Stakes. Rivals the Derby is the race of the day these days. 1,200 for three-year-olds at set weights. And fairly tasty conveyances here, Joel.
Yeah, very exciting race. I am sticking fat with Exceedance. I've been with him all this prep. He won first up, and he's been beaten his last couple. He's run really well in defeat both times. Had the sort of the pattern against behind Bivouac in the run to the Rose. Then the Golden Rose, just waywardness early in the straight, chasing those two high-class colts. Bivouac, yes, 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 wanting to duck in, and that didn't help. And then he really launched late. Blinkers were on in a recent jump out. I'm just hoping that he's drawn the right spot out towards the outside, and with the blinkers on, he'll just be a bit sharper, a bit wiser, and I think that's all the difference. So he's on top from two Bivouac on the back up after having no luck in the Manicato last week. 12 Lipitini, Gun Filly, and 10 Ruka, who won nicely at Mini Valley last week. He's a promising colt, and yeah, bit of a step up on the week back up, but we'll include him in my trifectas.
I think it's a race in three, 2, 6, and 5. Bivouac and Exceedance, there's something in the ring between those two. It went Bivouac on top. Should have won that Manicato Stakes, clearly. Kieran McAvoy, a bit of a victim of circumstances on the rail there. How many thought it could have played out, Barrier 1 at Mooney Valley. But look, he is, you know, didn't really spend much petrol that day, and essentially a barrier trial. I think he can come out firing here, and yeah, hard to beat Exceedance in next with the blinkers on. Cosmic Force, the other on times, you got to be wary of. His two runs of preparation will be very good. And Libertini in for fourth. Probably have Broadway in fourth. Good last start winner on Cox Plate Day in a quaddy as well. 2, 6, 5, and 12.
I went for Microphone at Odds. Thought could improve second up back to the straight, where he's 2 from 2. From Libertini, Bivouac, and Cosmic Force. 1, 12, 2, and 5. Race 7 is the big one, the $2 million Amy Victoria Derby, 2,500 metres at set weights for three-year-olds.
Soul Patch for me, listeners will know I'm keen on him. I'm not making him a best bet this week because I'm very scared of Shadow Hero. I think one of the pair will win. Blinkers just made him a bit sharper last week, Soul Patch. He didn't want to over-race, but just was able to pick up the bit and travel when Dwayne Dunn wanted him to, and that turn of foot around the bend was pretty decent. Like the good draw, that's what he needed. He can get smothered away without doing any work, and I think he can run the trip. 1 Shadow Hero, very, very smart horse. He'll be the hardest to beat. And then I'm taking a couple out of the Geelong race. 11 Relucent, near identical prep to Preferment, who won this a few years ago for the same stable. 7th start into the Derby as a maiden, and coming through the same races that he did, and he was okay on speed at Geelong. And 13, Translator, in for 4th. Just thought Geordie Childs just sort of took off a bit early there in the Geelong Classic. He loomed like the winner. Maybe if he had waited like Long Jack did and sort of got the run through, he may have been fighting out the finish. But yeah, he's a horse on the up. And yeah, I've left thought of that out. But he's clearly a winning chance on his form.
Keen on two of these here. Shadow Hero on top, the one. Of course, has that Castle Vecchio form from the champion, the Spring Champion Stakes, and building towards at 2,500 metres should suit him. The one I'm keen to play on each way is Southern Moon, the 10. I thought his Geelong Classic run was really good, and I like a few of these that might have a bit of queries at the distance. I think he's the one that he's a colt that's just got a relish at 2,500 metres. And yeah, I'm happy to take him each way, about the $15 mark. In for 3rd and 4th, I have Soul Patch and thought of that. I think the other two serious winning chances. But Shadow Hero on top, but keen to play Southern Moon on an each-way basis. 1, 10, 2, 3.
Oh, I'm with Joel. I like Soul Patch. Needs to be the first to complete the Amy Vars Victoria Double since Efficient in 2006, but 3 and 4 years ago there was horses coming out of the Amy Vars winning the Victoria Derby. Shadow Hero, obviously the one to beat. And then I've got Thought of That and Warning in for third and fourth. I'm keener on that form than Geelong. Race 8 at Flemington on Saturday is the last of the Group 1s. It's the Kennedy Cantala 1600 metre handicap, also worth $2 million, and has attracted a full field of 16 and 4 emergencies.
Yeah, a couple of my old faves here. Night's Watch on top for me. Just ran really well in the two rack, just didn't sort of get the brakes when he needed. He was held up and then hit the line strongly. Fierce Impact drew a wide gate and did it all himself, so take nothing away from him. He's going to have to do that again from another wide draw. Hopefully Flemington can see Night's Watch get into the clear a bit sooner. So I'm with him from 14, Star of the Seas, ran very well in the Epsom. 12, Cascadian, likewise, ran well in the Epsom. Then they dropped him back in grade. He gave a lot of weight away to some key rivals, and he got the job done with 59.5. He's a horse still learning on the way up. Horror draw, but he can be a bit slow out, so that's probably better than him drawing one. And 6, Fierce Impact, in for fourth. Listeners will be keen to know that second Darabat is in the sin bin for me.
I'm with Knight's Watch, yeah, as sort of Joel said, nothing really panned out for him, but the run was still good and he worked home well in the second and does get a 2 kilo weight swing on Fierce Impact. Flemington will suit him better. So on top, Knight's Watch. The Epsom's form, I think, comes to the fore here, a Star of the Seas and Rock, my next two. Star of the Seas settled close, boxed on well. Just no match for the Quinella there, Colding and Tiaku Shark. Of course, it's run well with Cox Plate, and Rock was one of the better closers in that race from well back, and in for fourth. Cascadian had been promising to break through and then finally did. Good fashion last start, I think, can go with it despite the tough draw. 8, 14, 13, 12 for me.
Made Star of the Seas my value bet, number 14. Has that Tiaku Shark form drawn well. I was expecting possibly even a little bit more than around the $9 or $10, but still, I mean, hard to miss that run. From Land of Plenty, Royal Meeting and Rock, so 14, 2, 5, 13. We finish at Flemington on Saturday. Down the straight 1,100 metres, the mares go around, or go straight ahead, in the Furphy Sprint.
Yeah, tough end of the quaddy, unless you're really banking on Pippi bouncing back, but you can make sort of cases for plenty of these. From memory, there was a real blowout winner in this last year too. 7, Gift of Power for mine. I thought she could be the improver out of that Northwood Plume. I'm looking at all sort of different form lines here, but I thought she could be the improver. She was 4 or 5 wide. Now, you can sit wide at Caulfield, but yeah, it's tough to sit that wide and be winning. I thought she kept running the line pretty well, so I'll go on with the 7 to beat 5, Hummer Hummer. It's keen on her at Caulfield. She got the job done. She's a winning hope again. 4, Pippi, who we haven't seen since the How Now, trying to bounce back from that. If she does, she can win, clearly. And a completely different form line. Down the bottom, number 14, Too Good, Too Hard. I like the job that she's been doing this mare. 3 from 5 with a second. Toughest test to date, but wouldn't want to risk her in terms of quaddies.
It is a tough way to end. A pretty even bunch, these, I think, especially those around the top of the page. I'm with Tafani, the Ocean Park mare. Her two wins have been terrific this preparation. There was a fail in between there, excuses offered, but then came to Caulfield at big odds in that Northwood Plume and was just swooped on. It was far too good. I think if she shows her best, she'll be hard to beat. 5, Hummer Hummer, unbeaten this prep. I think might be having one more run this preparation then heading for a spell and heading to the autumn, as John McArdle said, post-race last start. So I think, yeah, she's got to be right in the game. Pippi in next, was high on her the first 3 starts when she bolted in, and then something went wrong last start. She can bounce back, and Manicure has to be in as well, always around the mark. 2, 5, 4, and 1.
And I am with Daniel. Same 4 horses, same one on top, Tafani. I've then got Manicure, Pippi, Hummer Hummer, so I'm 2, 1, 4, 5. My best was race 5, number 2, Melody Bell. My value bet, race 8, number 14, Star of the Seas. Joel's best, race 6, number 6, Exceedance. His value bet, race 3, number 11, Cavalmo. Daniel's best, early, waves 1, number 4, Zootori. And Value Bet, not an on-top selection, a little bit soft, we like to think. That's race 7, number 10, Southern Moon. Rosehill Gardens, there are no black type races, but there is a $500,000 race, a $7.5 million race, and $1 million race. So we'd best take you through those, and that starts in race 6, Rosehill Gold Cup, worth $1 million over 2,000 metres. Oh, sorry, worth $500,000 over 2,000 metres.
13 for me, Morton's Fork. Oh, gee, it was a hard watch if you're on him like I was last week at the Valley. Nothing John Allen could have done, box seat, just that's a sort of... It's the sort of track that can make a good ride look bad. He's going well, this horse, and I think quick backup, 52.5, no stars here, $23, good odds. One tally is going well, ready to win. Doesn't often put two good ones together. 15 deal makers going well. He's performed at a decent level to the 2,000 metres, and with a light weight, he's a chance. And you know, I'm including the favourite, the Aidan O'Brien trained Antilles, who's a Northern Hemisphere 3-year-old, 4-year-old here. Yeah, his form's okay. He's run behind Constantinople, but yeah, a couple of his runs were sort of a bit patchy. So I've sort of taken him on to some degree, but he'll be going in the quaddie.
Chapada, for me, it's been a hard horse to sort of trust. He's always promised quite a bit. There's only the one win from 12 starts, and that was a country maiden. Look, he's third up this time. I think both runs his prep have had merit. Third up last prep, he... was third to the Autumn Sun at Rose Hill over 2,000 metres. Look, I think with the 54 kilos, Kieran McAvoy on board, yeah, I'm happy to have him on top, but it's close to D-Day for me. He's caught me a couple of times. 3, Mohamed Edis. Turek run, a bit of a forgive there. It can bounce back. 14, another dollar over the odds, I thought, and 10, Antilles. International, really got to be wary of him. 7, 3, 14, 10.
The big one at Rose Hill is race 7, Iron Jack Golden Eagle, $7.5 million, 16 to face the starter with scratching, as we speak, of Zusane. You wouldn't expect anything else to be scratched unless they absolutely had to. It's 1,500 metres. It is restricted to 4-year-olds. Joel?
They'll be pretty happy with the lineup they've got here. On with Acadia Queen, I think you could get $4 pre-barrier, and then she came up with a good gate and a couple of others drew wide, and she was quickly into about 280, so she's sort of rock bottom now, but yeah, on with her to bounce back from the Everest. They just rode her to settle closer, and just didn't pan out. She got knocked over halfway up the straight. She wasn't going to figure in the finish, but that sort of made the beaten margin a little bit bigger than it needed to be. I'm sure there'll be a lot colder here, and she's drawn to get a nice smother, you know, midfield or just off. And she can bounce back. 1,500, much more suitable for her. One Brutal's got a horror gate, but third up last prep, we went to the 1,500 at Rose Hill and beat all bar Winks in the George Ryder, so clearly got the class. 3, Colding, a real reason to drop off him. Just gone a couple ahead of him, but he's flying and won the Epsom well. And 2, Classic Legend, well, he was the hard luck tail of the Everest, so he's got to go in.
Yeah, Katie Queen on top, look far more suited here at 1,500 metres. It's her own age group, and the 1,200 metre Everest, one of the better sprints we've seen in recent memory. Yeah, good draw, and as Joel said, a lot of the other hopes drawn out. I'm not sure it can take 280, but it yeah, goes on top. 3, Colding, hard to knock the last start, Epsom winner. so he goes in next, and 4, the inevitable, done nothing wrong. This, of course, is the toughest test he's had to face, but I think he's up to them. And in for 4, maybe the Forgotten Horse, Classique Legend, the 2. 15, 3, 4, and 2.
And finally, race 8 is the Redzel Stakes, 1,300 metres, and it's worth $1 million.
One Pirata for me. Barrier 1 was no good for him in the Everest. He was in restricted room most of the straight, and he ran very well. To get within a length and a half, I think with clear air, he'll come sailing down the outside here. And he's come back in very good order. He'll be too good, I think. 6 Deprive, well, you can't really knock him. Although he's unbeaten at Randwick, so now he's got to transfer that to Rose Hill. But he's a good horse. 2, Trekking, well, he comes through the Everest, he beat Pirata home. I think the tables can be turned there. And 13, Fiesta, is a good mare that was very good first up behind Deprive. Staying at 1,200, oh, she gets to 1,300, sorry. Would still be just a little query. She may just need a little bit further, but she looks to have come back in good order.
On with Trekking, they ran out of his skin and in the Everest to hold third there from well back. Up to the 1,300 metres, I think, suits him better. Of course, he's a Group 1 winner over 1,400 metres in the Brisbane Winter Carnival and his place at this distance in a Group 1 as well. He's on top. It's hard to separate them, though. I think Brave Song has form around Trekking as well. I think his two runs have been better than they look on paper. I think he's ready to fire now and could show up at bigger odds. Pierrada and Champagne Cuddles going next. 2-7, 12-1.
And Pierrata was Joel's best for the day, race 8, number 1. Talk us through, Joel, your value bet comes up earlier in the program, race 4, number 7, Jungleized.
Yeah, he's resuming from a spell here, just maps to get a good run. Barrier 3, just behind the leaders, he's trialled well, he's 1,100 metre specialist, so yeah, $10, happy to play him each way.
And Daniel, your specials both come up in earlier races, starting with your best, race 2, number 2, Lunar Mirror.
Yeah, with all the stakes races on Derby Day and the three in Sydney, I've gone to a highway for my best. So I think Lunar Mirror is hard to resist. So I thought a Kosciuszko run was, well, she just didn't really have the crack of them. Scored on the fence, nothing Tim Clark could really do. And look, she went to the line pretty much hard held, sort of ridden out last 50 metres, but never got a crack there. I think she's a very promising mare. Form prior was terrific in a pretty, the 1200 metres in a pretty average highway. I think she can win this with even luck. She's the best. Race 2, number 2. And the value comes up in race 5. Jen Rules from the Snowden Stabler. A mare I've always had a little bit of time for. First up record's very good. She does some of her best work fresh. Has disappointed at times, but I think her best form would definitely go close in a race of this depth. And she has trialled well in readiness for this. So the value, race 5, number 8, Jen Rules.
Racing on the main track at Morfordville in Adelaide on Saturday. Daniel, your best comes up in the third. There's a fairly short favourite here in Secret Blaze, but you're with the second favourite, across from Melbourne, Star Ruse.
Yeah, on the quick backup, ran Moonee Valley last Friday night, and I thought he was one of the better chances at bigger odds. Just couldn't, sort of lost his spot and held up in traffic. Didn't get much luck there. Drops to a... That was a benchmark 84. This is a benchmark 85, but this is a weaker race to what he saw that night. He drops 3 kilos to 52 kilos, thanks in part to the claim by Liam Reid. And I think his best form will just be winning this. Race 3, number 8, Star Ruse. The value comes up in race 6. I think Pearl Bandit is over the odds at $10. Murray Bridge last start. We've got a long way back. It was never winning from where he ended up in the run, but did work home well, and the rise of 1600 metres is a big tick. Raquel Clark, stable jockey for the McDonald Gluyas on board. I think that $10 definitely worth an each way play. Race 6, number 10.
They're racing at Eagle Farm in Brisbane on Saturday, and it's another Brisbane 10 race card. We're starting to run out of horses a bit. We're starting to find ourselves with a few where there's no each way betting, and one of those is the race where your best is, Daniel. There's only 7 left in this one. It's race 3, number 1, Capital Connection.
Yeah, extremely hard to beat this horse. He led and gave a good kick at Doomben to win pretty easily last start at a bigger price. The form around him in that race, Tambo's mate, the runner-up, has since won again since. It's really good form lines in Brisbane. And happy to take the shorts about Capital Connection. Will be very hard to beat. The value comes up in race number 8, number 3, Comic Story, resuming for the Heinrich Stable. Was meant to run around last week, it was scratched. I thought his trial has been very good, and he goes very well fresh. has won 6 races at 1200 metres as well. I think he ticks a lot of boxes. I think this race is a bit of a long tail. So at an each way price, Comic Story, I can definitely entertain. Race 8, number 3.
Cross in Perth, they're back at Ascot, 9 race card there, 2 group 3s. The Hosemasters Asian Bow Stakes is race 7, BJ Ryan likes number 4, Regal Power. And in the race 8, the Tab Touch Prince of Wales Stakes over the 1,000 metres, BJ is, he likes first up, number 7, Misty Metal. BJ's best, race 5, number 11, Massimo. And his value bet, race 9, number 1, Brothers Keeper. Earlier in the day across the Tasman, Joel, they are racing at Awapuni and Pukekohe.
They certainly are. Awapuni, my best bet is Talenti, race 4, number 4, big run first up at Hastings. Out in trip, will be fitter, just looks to have a lot of upside, and most of these covered. Value bet is Dark Princess, race 7, number 7. She's been running in Group 1 races, so ignore the duck eggs next to her name. She's much better suited here. And Pukekohe, the best is Midnight Runner, race 5, number 3. And the value is Nasha Reva, race 8, number 14.
Alrighty, that wraps up a massive Saturday of racing around Australasia. Don't forget to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. You've got all the form for Friday. Friday night at the Valley again. Saturday, our usual massive coverage, and Sunday as well. We've got 4 full form guides there. There's actually only 5 TAB meetings. Unfortunately, couldn't get Mount Barker in, but we've got the other 4, so you've got plenty of value there. And also, don't forget that on Sunday, if you're in Melbourne, on Monday, if you're everywhere else, the Winning Post Melbourne Cup special is out. All the form for Tuesday, plenty of good reading as well. So 2 big winning posts to buy this weekend. Finally, our best $20 bet of the weekend. I'm going to kick us off, and I'm going to have a bit of guts and go in the big race. I'm going to go Flemington race 7, number 2, Soul Patch. In fact, I think that was my $20 bet last week. So
it was definitely one of ours. Was it mine or yours?
I thought it was mine.
Could have been yours.
It definitely was my best at Mini Valley.
Yeah, it probably was yours. I will go Pirata. Rose Hill, race 8, number 1, best of the weekend.
I'll multi a couple of shorties up. First, at Flemington Zatori, around the $2.10 mark, and Capital Connection, I think it's around $1.95, race 3, number 1 in Brisbane. So, yeah, around $4.20, the dividend there.
Excellent. Well, that's better than a punch in the face, for sure. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Now, we always say we're going to do a Cup special podcast, but we never do, Joel. It's always you and Carl, because I'm always on the real radio on Monday morning. But
Stay tuned. There may be a...
Yeah, listen out for that. Keep an eye on your Winning Post website. Wherever you get your... Well, no, not wherever you get your podcast. That's still in the works, is it, Joel? Us getting onto the Spotify and all that sort of stuff? Yeah. It's
on a ticket.
All right, so have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners, drink plenty of water, and we'll talk to you probably Monday on the preview podcast.